jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, it's Friday already. Friday, though. You know, I always talk about the world being on fire. Well, it's not on fire. It's freezing. The world's freezing today, isn't it? I talked to John Robertson yesterday with Hagman and Hagman. They had 62 inches of snow, if you can imagine that, up in Erie, PA, and 3 more feet coming today. It's freezing. It's below zero up there where Jared's running the program from. It's cold here. There's this Arctic blast coming down. And what about all that global warming out there, folks? Yeah, well, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in here and joining us. We had a unique problem yesterday, one that I'm, funny kind of way, take some pride in. We had a full queue yesterday. Remember how long I begged? Let's get 30. Let's get 30 in here. I heard from people yesterday couldn't get in. So praise the Lord for that. Like I said yesterday, I hope you guys are sharing these. Listen, it's only just be Johnny Appleseed and just try to. If this is changing your life, which it's changing mine, I can't tell you how much it's changing my life. These huddles in the morning. I want you people to, people, that sounds like Ross Perot, you people. I want you people to understand that when I get down here and I do this show, it is all, for the most part, stream of consciousness. I filled up my tank. Like, I went back and I watched yesterday's video. Wow, it's pretty profound. But I noticed something. I came across as an angry old white guy. In fact, I got an email about that. Why are you always so angry? And, you know, I could come back with a typical response. Well, why aren't you? But I think my passion is being misread as anger. I am angry, but I'm not angry in like you would get if somebody stole something from you, or angry in a way that somebody said something about you. I'm not angry in that way. My anger is a growth out of frustration, out of, come on here. Remember, I'm a coach. And the greatest frustration I would get when I was coaching is watching our guys not doing what they'd been taught, or realizing in the course of the game, I hadn't done a good job of coaching. And that anger would rise up in me. Not an anger that I would want to go be destructive or do something to somebody, but a righteous indignation. Folks, that's what you see. That's what comes out of me. You won't believe this. I know you won't. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. I laugh. I love to have fun. I love to do it. I love to do stuff. But at the same time, I can't laugh at some of the things that I see going on. And, you know, people say, well, coach, don't let the devil steal your joy. Well, the devil isn't stealing my joy. He's not stealing my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But so I look around and things aren't in place and things aren't operating right. It causes a frustration in me. And that frustration comes out as passion, and you read it as anger. Guys in the queue that have been around me, I'm not an angry guy. My wife, how can I keep this beautiful little wife I've had for 37 years? And why was it yesterday my house was filled with all my little grandbabies coming down? They wouldn't want to come down and see some old angry old guy. I'm the joy of the Lord is my strength. I am so full of joy. However, I'm an analyst. I'm a fruit inspector. And I look at what's going on. I say, God, come on. Come on here. So before I get into the show, I got a new theme song. It's not a new theme song. I have people send me stuff. When I get up in the morning at 5 o'clock and get on my internet, my emails, begin to check, you wouldn't believe the stuff that people send me. And I wish I had time to watch people. You got to see this, coach. And it's 8 hours long. Oh, you got to watch this. And it's an hour and 40 minutes. Oh, coach. And you know what? You do have to. You do have to. I do need to see all that stuff, but I'm limited with the amount of time that I have. That I just can't do it. And so I get that frustration too, that I've got so much, I realize so much how we've been lied to. Oh my goodness. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I see what's happened. We as Christians should be the wisest, most connected, most, we should see what's going on around us, the people of the light. But yet we're not. And we're not, because we've been boxed in. So this became my theme song. As you know, I've had a cold and I'm not much of a singer. Somebody sent me this today, said, man, here's your theme song. So I tried to, Jared, I tried to find a copy of it where they wouldn't, YouTube wouldn't censor us for using copyrighted material. So I had to look around, try to find it. But I listened to this morning. I said to Michelle, listen to this, Michelle. Boy, listen to this. So I'm going to do some karaoke with you. You're welcome to sing along if you want to. You'll have the music and the words on the screen. So I'm going to sing along because this is going to rapidly become more and more of you. Okay. That's my burden this morning. That's my burden this morning. Let me say this first. This is my burden this morning. Is I'm creating a lot of angst in the hearts of men. I don't mean I am. The show is that we are. The Holy Spirit is. The men's eyes are being opened. And as their eyes are being opened, it is bringing great, great conflict into their life. And for the most part, sometimes when they go, they're the only one who sees it and gets it. And the frustration builds. And the wife doesn't understand, and the kids don't understand, and people at church don't understand. And it burdens me. I got a couple of emails I'm going to share with you. I haven't forgotten, Larry. Hang on. I haven't forgotten. And so I said, golly, I don't want to lay these burdens on people who watch the show. I don't want to burden you. But I know that the burden that's coming on you, the Lord said, take my yoke, for my yoke is easy and the burden is light. So I want to help you put the yoke of the Lord on you so that the burden is light. Not that the burden would disappear, because we need it. We need the burden, but the burden would be light. It wouldn't wear you out. That you would be fulfilled and confident and in peace in what it is the Lord has called you to do. And guys, listen, when you speak truth, people don't want to hear it. They do not want to hear it. And so that in itself is what brings conflict. The Apostle Paul said what? Do I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now we're not the first one. So here's a theme song for today. Pardon my off-key singing. You're welcome to turn your microphone on or off and sing along with me as we do a little bit of karaoke here this morning. Because brothers and sisters, this is me, and I promise you it is soon to be you. Go ahead, Jared. Baby, do you understand me now? Sometimes I feel a little mad. But don't you know that no one alive can always be an angel? When things go wrong, I seem to be bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Perfect.
Come on, you can join in. This is us.
Perfect.
Baby, sometimes I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide. And sometimes it seems all I have to do is worry. Then you're bound to see my other side. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. If I seem edgy, I want you to know that I never mean to take it out on you. Life has its problems, and I get my share. And that's one thing I never meant to do, because I love you. Oh, baby, no, I'm human. I've thought just like any other one.
Sometimes I find myself long regretting some foolish thing, some little simple thing I've done. And I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Yes, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Yes, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Yes, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Is that us? Is that it?
Hey, terrific. The numbers didn't even go down during that.
Wow. I don't even know if I stayed on key. Yeah, I don't even know if there was a sound delay. But, brother, can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Eric Burden and the Animals. And what's their big one? The House of the Rising Sun, Pastor Dale. Down there. I'm going to sing that one tomorrow. Down there in New Orleans, right? The House of the Rising Sun. There is a house in New Orleans. They call the Rising Sun. I'll get into that one tomorrow. So listen, I'm gonna dive in here, but before I dive in here, I want to make an announcement here. I just cleared it with Jared, and this was prompted to me by Larry. Larry called me right after the show yesterday. We are doing a New Year's Day show. And we're going to take communion. Did you hear me? We're going to take communion. This group, this right here, this fellowship here, we're going to take communion. Now, here's what you have to do. You have to, first of all, tell anybody they want to. They can turn in on YouTube and watch it. They can, whoever. And you're going to have some type of element, a piece of bread, whatever it would be. And you're going to have something that you would drink, whether it be wine or whether it be grape juice, whatever it would be. It doesn't matter. It signifies his body and his blood. And we are going to take communion together. Because whether we realize it or not, we are a fellowship of brothers here. And the new year's coming in. And Larry suggested that might be a great thing to do. So spread the word. Jared, let's get an email out to anybody that might want to take part of it. See, there. Oh, I feel that religious spirit. Oh, my goodness. Ooh. I don't know if you're worthy to take it or not. That's between you and the Lord. Okay? You're not supposed to take the body and blood of Jesus unworthily. I understand that. And I hear that religious spirit out there say, I don't know if I can take the elements with those with whom I'm not in agreement. So, it's up to you. Monday morning, the first day of the new year, we are going to take communion, and we would love for you to be part of it, and we offer Amen. That to you. Okay? Amen. That's what we're going to do. That's not all we're going to do, but that's certainly part of what we're going to do. Cool? Cool. All right. Now, I'm bringing it back online. Anybody got a comment there? Anybody being misunderstood out there?
No. I'd like to make a comment, though, as far as bread that we take. Let me recommend just go to the store this weekend and buy you a little box of matzo bread. 9/11 bread. You'll see in that bread the stripes in it and the holes in it, which represent the body of Christ.
Okay. Hey, Joe, can they take communion without that?
No. I mean, yeah, they can take communion without that. I'm just saying, as a better representation of, say, leavened bread, buy your sunbeam bread or whatever, you know.
So here was the smart ass remark I just made to you, Joe. And don't take it wrong, although if you do, who cares? Our religious nature is always to add something else. I'm not making fun of you, Joe. I hear exactly what you're saying, brother. Please don't. I'm just trying to show how tradition just swallows us up. Everywhere we are, we get swallowed up by tradition. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord took the bread, when he broke the bread with those guys around him, he never dreamed it would become what it's become. The idea of breaking bread and fellowship one with another. And we understand the unleavened bread, and we understand that it represented his body. The Catholics believe it actually becomes his body. That's what they believe. Everything the Lord gives us, we turn into a doctrine or a theology. Joe, I'm not mad at you, please. Man, oh man. Because I know right now there are people watching this show right now. They can't in their own heart. They can't justify taking communion. We're not in church. Not a chalice.
Am I not worthy?
I've been blessed.
Same thing you said, Coach. Am I not worthy?
Yeah, I mean, it's demon-y, grammy. So, amen. Amen. Okay, I got to show you a couple things. I got a couple emails I want to show you today, because this is really, by the way, this is a Friday, Flea Flicker Friday. Although I want to flip some things on the table and let us kick it around and then bring up. Okay. Hey, some great news real quickly, real quickly. Our friend David Arthur is going to be on the Hagman Report because of his appearance here. And we don't know when that is, but I spoke to him yesterday, and they're excited to have him on. So they're going to be contacting him and letting him tell the truth about transgenderism to the world. Powerful. Yeah, Mark.
I was just going to ask if you got an elder there to serve you your bread. I'm sorry.
Mark, I got an older brother, but he's lost. So I don't know. I could get my elder sister. She's found, but she's a woman. So I don't know. Right. So here. Yeah.
Can I just say that also through your program, the Last Call Radio Show, I'll be on there tomorrow morning.
Oh, good. He'll be on with JR tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good. Because your message is powerful, David, because it breaks all those lies down. It just breaks all those lies down.
It's all him.
And I think, I'm not telling you what to do, but you need to tear those walls down, brother. You need to aim your gun and tear those walls down, because as we've talked about on our show, believers are believing lies about deviant sexual behavior. Amen. We're believing lies, right? So brother, tear those walls down. Here's a couple emails I want to share with you here real quickly. I got to get off of my screen there. What do you think? Would this thing get off of my screen? Let's try that right there. Yeah, that did. Good. I got a couple emails. Listen, if you ever send me an email, if I choose to use it, some I do, it's tough. A lot of times it has to do with the topic that we're talking about and whether that's appropriate or all that. I got two emails. One was an email, one was a text message. And I thought, you know what? I have to share these with the queue, because this is my dilemma in a nutshell. These two are, oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. I am so misunderstood. And so are you going to become so. Just telling you. Wish I could make it easier for you. I'm sitting around, Michelle and I were sitting around, please do not take this as a woe is me. Michelle and I were sitting around last night thinking about who we could have over on New Year's Eve. And that's what both of us did. Who could we have over that we could sit around and fellowship and have a good time with and do a Bible study and lift up the Lord and celebrate the new year coming in? Well, I can invite George, but he's 600 miles away. I can have Lindell, but he's in another country. I can have Larry, but he's in South Carolina. I can have Sarge, but he's in He's in Maine, but except he's in Florida this morning. They could have. And so what I'm saying is our network of believers is becoming more and more narrow as we speak more and more truth. And I have a lot of people that I would call who truly, truly are good friends of mine. And Michelle, we are good friends. But they ain't there. They ain't there. And it's hard. It's hard. The fellowship, this is me, maybe it's not with you. Please don't let me be misunderstood. It's hard to fellowship fully with people who aren't there. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you? And so she was a little frustrated because my wife loves being around people. And I can take them or leave them, to be honest with you. But she loves being around people. And so I sat down last night. I said, okay, well, who, honey? Who do we want to have over? And she just kind of looked back at me. So that's why, to me, the huddle's so good, because it's great fellowship. She said, well, just announce on the huddle that people can come over and we'll do a Bible study on New Year's Eve. Okay, I'm announcing that. You're welcome to come over. You want to come from wherever you are? Come on over. Come on over. Come on over. Michelle and I will have a little bit of a Bible study. Whatever. Am I making myself clear? Your friendship, your friends are going to change. They're going to change. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Okay, so I got a couple emails that I want to share with you. If you send me an email, I will never share your name without your approval. I'll clean them up. And I share these kind of emails because they're representative of what where a lot of people are. Jared, pull that first one up there. They say it says, oh, it doesn't say it, does it? Yeah, it does. Now, this is so, oh, Jared, I'm sorry. It isn't in stuff. It is. See, I must have been crazy this morning sending all of this stuff just to me. Did I do that? Daggone. Here, Jared, here comes the first one. Sorry.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead and say something while I'm getting these sent to Jared. There's the first one, Jared. Jerry.
You're talking about how your friends kind of change as, you know, you get closer to Christ and how fellowship changes of people around you. It's not unlike I was an alcoholic, and when I stopped drinking, all my friends changed almost overnight. It's, you know, along the same lines kind of thing, right?
Well, you know, it's funny you said that, because I mentioned to Michelle last night the miracle of the gospel. This is how I know I'm saved. One of the ways I know that I'm saved. New Year's Eve. Golly, I look back on my life. How many New Year's Eves I spent planning to get drunk and then getting drunk and then doing stupid stuff after I got drunk. And I said to Michelle yesterday, I have no desire to be. It never enters my mind. Hey, let's go out and pound the 12-pack. Never. Because the Lord changed the desires of my heart. And so I don't know about you. I don't even want to be around it. I don't want to be around it. And that's not that I'm holier than thou. That's not what it is. I just want to be around it. It grieves me. Are you kidding me? On New Year's Eve, you don't want to pound some beers? Yeah, I don't have a desire to do it. I just don't have any desire. The Lord changed that desire in my heart. And that's the problem we're dealing with. People have broken hearts. So I got this one today. This is a text message. It may have come last night. I can't remember when I got it. It says, I was thinking about what you said this morning about how many of us has changed or grown since being a part of the huddle. It's so true. Many of us can now see in a more clear way where the church is failing and why we have lost the cultural war. For the most part, the church is running programs, but not really equipping people to do the ministry. I'm currently thinking about what our approach should be here in our neighborhood. I'm not so concerned about a program, more about discipleship and the work and having an action plan. And I began to think about this. This, to me, this is really, really profound. This is part of the problem in a nutshell. And I'm gonna illustrate it to you right now. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Okay. To the seasoned group of Christians we have over here, according to my chart, we are full. Or if you're out there and you're trying to get in, we're full. I'm gonna open this up. I want right now someone to tell me what the church has equipped you to do. Go.
Excommunicate myself.
Absolutely.
Stay down there in Florida. I hope you get sunburned.
Leave.
Equip me to lose.
Equip you to lose. Come on. Come on. What has
about,
the... If you think about all of your time, your 30 years sitting in a pew at church, what have you been equipped to do?
All they've taught me, Coach, is how to love with a fake love. Not a true love, of like not an agape love.
Right?
Loving people to death, I should say.
Or how to
love them all the way to hell.
How to love people that the Bible doesn't instruct us to love.
Amen. If you wanted to right now, if you wanted to organize 10 or 12 men to go, I don't know, go do some gospel outreach, are you equipped to have it? Are you capable? I understand you've only been in church 25 years. I understand. But do you have any idea how you would do that? Oh, I know what you could do. Well, you could go on a mission trip to Haiti or Guatemala or hopefully some place where you don't even speak the language, so you wouldn't really have to ever even do anything. That would be good. I wish it was funny. Can you tell me anything the church has equipped you to do? In all seriousness, can somebody tell me? It's like watching the Cleveland Browns. The football coach is, what, 1-29? He's 1-29 over 2 years, and they're bringing him back next year? What? Oh, he's following the right doctrine. He agrees with their doctrine, so they're going to bring him back. Come on, anybody?
Well, Coach.
You don't have to. Yeah, go ahead.
It's not here's the problem. It's not about doing. It's about loving, and loving isn't doing, as everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's it, right? It's just like public school. All you do is you learn how to shuffle information around in your head and kill yourself.
You're never equipped to do anything other than to get more education. The educational system just equips you to move to the next grade, and then finally, at some point, the education system says, "Okay, you've had enough of it," unless you want to go to college, and then you can have 4 more years of it, and then at the end of the 4 years, we'll give you a degree. Now, the church does the exact same thing, but they never give you a degree. They never give you a piece of paper that says that you've arrived, ever.
They give you a little pin that hang bars under it for every year you don't miss.
Or, yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Oh, Lord, please don't help me be misunderstood. I'm just trying to do a self-evaluation.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
They kind of teach you to do nothing. I mean, when they go along those lines of once saved, always saved, or rapture's going to take us out of here before we actually have to deal with the situation, be lazy.
Well, it's worse than that, Jerry. They don't even tell us we should be doing something. What's that word? What's that theme I had? Christians don't know anything that's going on around them, and they don't know. The average Christian sitting in the pew has no idea he has a responsibility to be sharing the gospel. That, in fact, is his number one job.
And it is learned helplessness.
They do not learn helplessness. It's the one thing, sharing the gospel with their friends is the one thing they don't know how to do. I'm not saying amen. It's the truth.
Amen.
So as we look at the structure, we wonder why good Christian moral values are maybe privately held. Let me call time out yesterday. My thought got ahead of me. I got another email we'll share with you in a second. Do you have any idea how many wounded, broken families there are? I could just start right here in the queue. And I could give you a mask that you could put on and we could muffle your voice. And I could say to you, tell me about your family. And the truth would be, it is broken. Broken. You don't talk to your kids. They don't talk to you. You don't talk to your brothers. Your brothers don't talk to you. You don't talk to your aunt, your cousin, and your grandma, and your mom. And you, nobody, no. The people who hate you most are your family members. And so we have so many. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me and the dysfunctional family that I am in, these people that I am connected to. Now, they could be, I don't care if my brothers know, my brothers could be out with some friends tonight talking about me, about how dysfunctional I am. And that Dave, that guy, he's a religious nut. He's going off deep in. It's Jesus this, Jesus that. So even that brings dysfunction. That brings disunity and disharmony. If I went right down this list and said, listen, tell me about your perfect family, you would all admit that we're a stinking mess, aren't we? Christian families are a mess.
Amen.
And I heard my wife's heart last night when she wanted people to come over. Because you know something? She just wanted to know that somebody cared. And that she could care about somebody else. And that she could lay down all of the crap and all the facade and all the fake stuff that we do and just one-on-one share the Lord and minister to one another and love on each other, which, by the way, is what I would call a church. But unfortunately, those are who I would want to do with, that I would want to invite. Tim Tubra called me yesterday after the show. I hadn't spoken to Tim in a couple of weeks. His arm's getting better, by the way. He said, Coach, I was a pastor for 20-some years. And he said, you said the most profound thing yesterday. He said, I've never, ever thought about it. We have no business bringing lost people to church. No business.
Absolutely.
The purpose of the church is to send the saints out to take the gospel to the people. And once they've taken the gospel to the people and they've discipled the people, then the people bring them to them.
Amen.
He said, that is profound. And you know, we don't know how to do that, do we? We don't know how to do it. And so as a result, dare I say it? Your church is full of people that don't even know Jesus. They think they do.
Hey, Coach.
But they don't. Hang on, Larry. And then the deeper you get into your relationship with Jesus, the more they pull away. And you become the outcast. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that have been taught a gospel message and how to knock on doors and all that kind of stuff and everything. But unfortunately, most of those people, and I'm thinking about one denomination in particular, and I'll go ahead and say it because it's true. The Baptist and the different offshoots of the Baptist, they're big on spreading and telling the gospel. The problem is the gospel they tell does not include enough truth to truly make a child of God.
No. Well, Larry, you said that, and wouldn't it be amazing? This email popped up on our screen. Are you ready? Are you guys with me? I got this email yesterday as well. Had to listen to today's show a second time. Think about that. I did too. There's a lot in that. Angry, our coach is angry. So I had to listen to it a second time, and I still wound up about to chew my pencil in half. I agree with everything you said, Coach. Well, hopefully not everything. I mean, we're allowed to be off a little bit. I don't know if you remember, but when I was trying to rent a room for you to come over to speak at my church, they told me you didn't follow their doctrine. Over the last several shows, the Lord has shown me that doctrine is the devil's spy for getting into the church to deceive the church. There's only one truth. So how can there be so many doctrines? How can they all be the right one? And when you said to know your enemy, having been in the military, that's all they talk about, was knowing our enemy. So I got to thinking about that and see that the doctrine is my enemy. Church of God doctrine, Baptist doctrine, Pentecostal doctrine. Doctrine is the enemy. If we're going to confront the enemy, I can't see any other way but to start confronting the churches. We're here out trying to show people the Lord, win them over to the Lord, and take them to the church, and then the spirit of the doctrine has his arms wide open waiting to confuse and deceive these new converts. Wow. When you come to town, I hope that there will be some time that we can talk strategy for the Indiana Brigade. I have some ideas, but my wife said sometimes I need to tone it down, so I need to bounce these ideas to you first. I might be too aggressive in my ideas. You're right. We're losing the fight. We're loving them right to hell. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Man, this is it, isn't it? This is it. And you know what else? You know what else I realized? You know, really, what else? Unbelievable. I feel really good this morning, okay? So I don't want you to feel like, oh, poor coach is really struggling. No, listen, stay with me a second. I watched a video yesterday from Jason A. In fact, I shared it with my wife. My wife went to viewing of a friend of funeral viewing last night. And I didn't really know the people, so I drove her and I sat in the car. And on the way over, on my little phone, I played this Jason A. video on everything we believe is a lie, or everything we believe is not true, whatever. I can't remember. About 18 minutes long. And you know what I saw? And what this Jason A. video made, the point it makes is, really and truly, most people are disconnected from God. They're disconnected from any type of spirituality at all. And I heard my wife's heart that she wanted people to come over on New Year's Eve. And I heard all that heart. And, you know, I got thinking about it. We fight such isolation. The guys that are on the queue right now, we're filled up here right now. Do you have one man in your life that you could really call right now and say, Coach, my life, I am so screwed up? Do you have a relation, a relationship with a person, stay with me, that when you really have a burden, you could call them and they would understand and they would tell you the truth and they would be harsh with you, but they would love you. They would walk you through it. And see, here's the truth. The answer would be 90% of us would say no. No, I have nobody in my life like that. But who does the world tell you you have to go to? Your pastor. I'm a grown man. And I need a pastor. I need a shepherd. Are you kidding me? I'm a grown man. I need a brother. I don't need a pastor. I need a brother that I can sit down with and share my heart with, and he say to me, hey, no kidding, coach. You're doing this, and no wonder your wife doesn't want to be with you, coach. That's what I need.
Hey, coach.
Just a second, Larry. Because listen. Therapist will teach you to be dependent on them. Counseling in a church will teach you to become dependent on them rather than on the brotherhood and the fellowship of the Lord. Go ahead, Larry.
What we need pastors for is teaching those men you were just looking for how to be that support for other men. That's the pastor's role. That pastor's role is not to be the support for every male goat in his herd.
Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. The average guy going to church, the last guy he wants to talk to is his pastor about stuff that really, really matters. Really, really matters. I'll say this right now. And I could pick up the phone. I think I could pick up the phone. I could tell Big Rich about anything. And he would tell me where I was screwing up. And he would tell me where it was. George, I could go down with this. I could go down with this. I could do that. And you know, the average guy doesn't have that in his life. He just doesn't have it. There's no connectedness to the spirit man. There's no connectedness to a group, a fellowship, a true fellowship of believers, a fulfilling relationship, fellowship of believers. And as a result, there's no connectedness to the Lord. People are spiritually dying. The opioid, I told you I'm going to try to have a guest on here to talk about it. Opioids, I rewatched Jason A. last night. Opioids, which is prescription drugs, is now the leading cause of death in America, outside of cancer and all that. Opioids, prescription drugs. And why are people taking prescription drugs? Because they don't like what's inside them. They're taking a drug to try to fulfill what's inside of the emptiness that's inside of them. Whether it's fear, whether it's worry, whether it's abandonment, they've got something in them. And so they go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, well, here, take this every day. And we're trying to cure a spiritual condition, a broken spirit man, with pharmacology. And how hungry, how hungry men are for realness. Is that even a word? For something that's genuine. How hungry men are to be able to look across the table into the eyes of a man who's going to tell them the truth in love and hold their feet to the fire. Men are starving for that. That's why they're into pornography. Pornography is just an opiate. It's just it causes these little things to go off in your brain. And it's a high, the pornography high. And after you get through sitting in front of that computer and doing whatever you do when you sit in front of that computer, you walk away and you feel dirty and you feel empty and got to go get more of it and fill it back up and can't share it with anybody. You can't talk about anybody. You can't have nobody to pray with. You're ashamed of it. You can't come clean. And you get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper down in the hole and go to church on Sunday and smile and your whole world's falling apart around you. Coach. Somebody say amen, coach. You hit me right in the mouth.
Amen. You punched me in the head.
Amen, coach.
That's it, man. That's it.
That's what I was speaking of when I was speaking earlier in the week about accountability. We need to make ourselves two or three that we are so tight with that we cannot be broken, because that becomes our connection to Christ as well.
I had a guy call me the other day. I had a conversation with a guy the other day. I don't know whether it was a call, text, email. I get a lot of communication like that. And he said, Coach, I just want you to know that I've been lying and I'm fighting a horrible pornography battle. Now, what did he think I was going to say? Oh, you're on your way to hell. What did he think I was going to say? My heart was moved with compassion. The number one, he's carrying this burden alone. And he has nobody to reach out to. It's ruining his relationships. He feels dirty inside. He feels separated from the Lord. But see, he's dirty inside because he's separated from the Lord. And he's in a hole. He's in a ditch. And all these religious people just keep walking by. And we keep walking by because we don't understand that he's in the ditch. How do you share that with another man? Somebody calls me and tells me they got a porn issue. I ain't shocked. It's every freaking where. I'm not shocked. Where are we as brothers? Are we as brothers building relationships here in the queue? And see, part of the problem is, I ain't going to tell Silver my secrets because Silver will tell Lyndall. And the next thing you know, everybody in the queue is going to know it because we can't trust one another. That's why you don't come clean in church. It'll be all over the church. Well, you get out the door, everybody in church is going to know it. Gossip.
And Coach, can I say something?
Please.
There was a time when, right before I came out of the world, and I commented, but I felt I needed to say it because I was on all kinds of psych meds. I was on antidepressants. I was diagnosed bipolar, anxiety, all kinds of things.
Any drug they can give you.
When I came out of the world, I actually saw that those were just symptoms or results of being in the world.
Numbing agents.
Not easy for me to put it all down and stop taking all those meds.
Numbing agents. That's all they were, David. They were just numbing agents, right? Some use pot, some use alcohol, some use porn, some use prescription drugs. But they are all, every one of them is designed to hide an emotional, spiritual decay. Every one of them. Church doesn't deal with any of that stuff. Have men's breakfast. We go to men's breakfast. We talk about the Buckeyes and the Browns and the Bengals and shooting deer and everything about, hey, dude, how often are you on there jacking off to that stuff? Are you doing that every day? Let me help you stop doing that, man. Pardon my language. It's real, though, isn't it? Isn't that real? Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. I don't know how we bridge that gap. I don't know how we bridge the gap. But we have a lot of men. My goodness. I could talk about me. Broken relationships in my life? Are you kidding? Even right now. Estranged from? It's debilitating. It can be debilitating. I'm not sucking on my thumb. Don't feel sorry for me today because you're walking through the same thing.
Can I say something, Paige?
Sure, please.
I think the key to connecting with somebody is like what David went through. He's going to connect to hundreds, if not thousands, it being the Lord's will because of what he went through, and he's explaining how he went through it. And I think that's how we connect to people, by going through what they went through and helping them out of it.
Hey, Dave.
Go ahead. I'm looking for something. Go ahead.
Dave, can I offer something here? This is going to take a couple minutes. I'll try to get through as quick as I can.
Okay, Matt, go ahead.
But as we enter this new year, I think it's very important that we think about something that can really make a big difference in our lives. Years ago, God inspired me to listen to a lot of messages from the churches, and I did that, and I went to a lot of churches, listened on the internet and the radio and everything else, and here's the key that the church preaches: God loves everybody unconditionally. We all know that. But here was a very important key. I would go on New Year's morning, and I would never, ever hear the preacher talk about loving God. On New Year's Day, never a word about us loving God. So is what happened to me before I even knew that this was going on years ago. I, like a lot of other people, enjoyed making New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolution. What are you going to quit doing? What are you going to start doing? What I did about 10 years ago, I made the New Year's resolution to love God more in the new year than I loved him in the old year.
Wow,
and I'm going to tell you what, that started to make a difference in my life, and it was what I would suggest to everybody on this program, everybody that's listening, is make that New Year's resolution for yourself today. Say, in the new year, I am going to love God more. So I'm going to do more research into how I love God. I'm going to do more study into what it takes to believe in God. I'm going to do everything I can, because my answer to stopping any habit or doing anything, as David Arthur just said, is in God. is in God. That's who is going to help us. And if we tell ourselves and convince ourselves, and the Holy Spirit helps us do that, to love God more this year than we did last year, and next year than we did next year, and so forth, it'll eventually come to making a big difference in our lives. That's it.
Amen, brother. But it's simple but not easy, right? It's simple but not easy.
Coach, something that Matt said that just triggered something, and I have to say this, if you'll allow me. You know, it says, we've been taught God loves everybody unconditionally. That's not what the Bible teaches. Those he loves, it's an unconditional love. But in order to come into God's love, you have to meet some conditions. First of all, you have to accept what Jesus did for you on the cross. That's a condition. Second of all, you have to go on and become a child of God, because there's not one verse in the Bible that says God loves, present tense, anything other than those who are obedient to him in his family. Those are the only two segments of people that are zeroed out in the Bible that said God loves present tense. He loves those who are obedient to him, and he loves his family, his children. He loved the whole world, past tense, so much he made a way for them to come into his love again. If you have not come into his love again, you don't have any of God's love and blessing on your life. It's not unconditional until you become one of his. And that, I dare anyone out there to find me a present tense verse in the Bible that says God loves everybody. It is not there.
Amen. Hey, Jared, pull up Revelation 12. Book of Revelation 12. This is the last show for 2017, isn't it? Isn't this the last one? So doing a little bit of house cleaning here. There's some things that really, I got a lot more today. But I think it's so powerful. We let our brothers drown. We let our brothers drown. We let our brothers drown because we don't know they're drowning. We don't know it. Everything seems okay. They seem okay. They seem happy. Robert says, men who go to battle together build bonds. That's right. Let's go to jail together. Maybe we'll build many bonds. Yeah, well, there's truth in that, right? There's truth in that. And so I don't. Larry is carrying some burden. I don't know what it is. He's carrying. I promise you, he is. Jared, whoever it is, you're carrying something. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a sin. I mean, you're carrying something, and you'll never get victory over it by hiding it. Remember, light came into the world, and men loved darkness. They perceived it not. The idea that if I don't tell anybody, it'll be okay, and it won't be. I'm in Revelation 12. Did I say that? Revelation verse 12, chapter 12. But we could read through this whole thing. Verse 10. Go down a little bit, Jared. Close up. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan was deceived. The whole world was cast out into the earth. The angels were cast out with him. But look here. Look at this. After he cast them out, the word says this. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, in heaven, a loud voice, a loud one. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. I heard a loud voice in heaven. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down. And he accused them before our God day and night. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives unto death. Guys, we allow our brothers in Christ to be swallowed alive because we will not give them a victory of the word of their testimony. I used to be hooked on porn and not anymore. I used to be hooked on alcohol and not anymore. I used to be a workaholic and not anymore. The power of your personal testimony to have overcome because what Christ did to you. And whatever it is that you're going through, whatever sin it is you're fighting with, whatever relationship that is that is broken, whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever it is, you have victory over it, but you're going to have to confess it. And you're going to have to tell somebody. That's why they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and see, dying to themselves, they love not their own lives. They put their pride, they put everything down. More than anything, they wanted to be delivered of this mess in their life. And so they told somebody. They said, I'm laying down my pride, I'm telling somebody. I'm struggling with this. If somebody calls me and tells me they're struggling with it, I'm not going to condemn them and beat them over the freaking head. I'm going to reach down in the ditch and I'm going to help pull them up. We're not taught to do that in church. We're not taught to do it. Look what they did to Judge Moore. Look what they did to him. Christian, Christian, got 4 minutes left. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's transparency. I've seen it. I've been in men's groups where we did a six-week even experiment where I didn't share anything but very basic stuff. And then at the 6 week, I shared everything, put it all out on the table, everything that I was guilty of. And we watched each of those men in that group open up and share some of their deepest and darkest secrets. And then once they fessed it up, it no longer had power over them.
Mm. Hebrews 12, Jared, real quickly. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Burdens. What are you carrying today? Let's get rid of it here in the new year. I'm not talking about just making a New Year's resolution. I'm going to go visit my grandma more. I'm going to wash the dishes for my wife. No. I'm talking about a resolution. When you make something that is resolute, it means you have put everything you have into it and you are not backing down. See, you cannot break a true resolution. Can't break it. Because a resolution comes from, oh, Jared, that would be a good word. Oh, I wish I had more time. He's looking it up. Resolution. Resolution. Bear with me here. I'm about done. The active process of resolving. The act of analyzing a complex notion. The act of answering, solving. The substance of a pathological state. Something that is resolved, made a resolution to end my, a firmness of resolve. A formal expression of opinion, will, or intent voted on by an assembled body. The point in a literary work at which the chief dynamic complication is worked out. The process of, or capability of making distinguishable the individual parts of an object closely adjacent to optical images or sources of light. In other words, just say, this is the problem, this is clear, and it is stopping. That's a resolution. You're resolving the problem. Back to Hebrews. I'm about that out of time.
And don't forget to mention Monday.
A reminder, Monday we're taking communion. Taking communion, get yourself some wafer, get yourself something to drink. We're going to take communion on Monday. Spread the word. Wherefore also, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. See, the witnesses are witnesses to your letting go of this burden, this weight, this pornography, this alcohol, this smoking cigarettes, this lying, this cheating, this conniving. There's a great cloud of witnesses because they're watching, and I'm now accountable, and I'm going to call my friend and say, hey, have you looked at that porn today? Have you looked at that thing today? Huh? Have you done that? You still doing that? Lovingly hold him accountable to his resolution that he didn't want to do it anymore. You still doing it? Have you broken the freaking computer yet? Have you busted that damn thing yet? To help him get through it. Wherefore, seeing we're also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race Why the hell do you want to run with sandbags on your back? That's where most of us are. That's where most of us are. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Amen.
Hey, boys. Amen. We're on a journey. We're on a journey. It is separating the wheat from the chaff, and it's all good, all good. Monday morning, bright and early, we're going to welcome the new year in by taking breaking bread together and honor the Lord. And some of you guys are going to nail some stuff on the cross. Some of you are going to do that on Monday morning, the first day, 2018. You're going to lay some things down. You're going to shake off some weights, and you ain't ever going to put them back. God bless you, boys. Have a safe end of 2017. Go Buckeyes. We'll see you Monday morning.